The reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verse 9 until the end. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual affection. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Could I just say, Jonathan, I am going to Israel on Tuesday. Praise the Lord, and I can't wait to walk where he walked, to pray where he prayed, to be where he died, and best of all, to be where he rose from the dead. I am so looking forward to it. So I would appreciate all your prayers. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul.
Great stuff. Thanks, thanks, Wendy. Well, I wouldn't have known that unless Wendy had just shared that with us. And I guess there's lots of things that we don't actually know about one another. So just as we start this morning, I'd just like you to turn to someone near you, not someone you came with, but someone near you, and just find out, if you don't know it, their name, something about their family, and something that they're really passionate about. Okay, off we go. Name, family, something they're passionate about. 1 minute. Gathered one or two new things about one another as you were talking together. I'm just reminded, I said to Dave I'd get a quick advert in, which does fit with the theme. For the men, an opportunity to get to know one another better. We've got a men's evening at the Meze, Green Dragon on Babington Road, on Thursday the 14th November at 7:30. And there's a list on that board at the back, just outside the inner doors, where you can sign up if you want to join us for that. Thursday the 14th, 7:30. Fantastic food down there, and a great opportunity to build relationships in that setting. Because we can sit next to each other in church week by week with many of the same people, but know very little about one another. And I say it to my shame. I've been here at Christchurch just over 3.5 years, and there's lots of people that I can see here before me who I just don't really know at all. We've maybe barely had conversations with one another. Sunday can be pretty crazy, can't it? There's limited opportunities to talk to one another after the service. We've got a few minutes, and there's people arranging little meetings through the week and all sorts of things going on. And it's easy to feel a bit sort of left out or on the fringes of all of that. I love the image of a church being a bit like a pool table, where on a Sunday morning all of the balls come out of the pockets, they rattle around, bumping into each other for a while, and then they just go back into their pockets until the next Sunday. I mean, is that really community? Is that really what it's all about? And then we sing, don't we? Monty appears on a Sunday morning, and I've got nothing against Monty, great friend of mine. But Monty, at an all-age worship service, our little mouse, for those of you who haven't got a clue what I'm on about, he comes on stage here and he sings. What does he sing? Hello, 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 and how are you? I'm fine, and I hope that you are too. How many people have sort of sung that on a Sunday morning and thought, I'm not fine? But that can be the way we relate to one another, can't it? You know, we come up with those pat answers. Someone asks us how we are, and we wonder whether they really want to know how we are, or whether they're just passing the time of day. I wonder what our relationships would be like if we put into practice those words of Paul to the Christians in Rome from Romans chapter 12. And I'd encourage you, if you've got a Bible near you, which you should have, just to turn to those words on page 1149, Romans 12, verses 9 to 21. And to be honest, I'm not too bothered whether you listen to me or read those words and take them in and the impact of them, or a combination of the two for the next few minutes, because they are just so, so powerful, but also very demanding. Very typical Pauline list of instructions for church. 15 or so simple instructions flowing one from another. And each one, every single one, if they were taken seriously by us, would contribute to that sense of genuine Christian community. We've been making real connections with one another. I wonder, as you look at them, which one you find the most challenging. Love must be sincere, perhaps. Honour one another above yourselves. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Do not repay anyone evil with evil. Do not take revenge. It's hard, isn't it? Challenging stuff. When someone walks through those imposing double doors, and I was trying to think earlier, where, you know, what sort of buildings are there around us which have double doors as imposing as those? Perhaps a prison. But, you know, if we go to the theatre, it's all very inviting and welcoming. Now, we have those double doors and that's our entrance, but I wonder what people experience as they come through those imposing doors. What do they find? Do they find that we're devoted to one another with mutual affection, as the NIV puts it? Or as the Message puts it much more simply, be good friends who love deeply. It's fairly simple, isn't it? Be good friends who love deeply. But it's not as easy as it sounds, is it, in a big church like this? We can't have deep friendships with every other person here. We've got limited emotional capacity. We've got limited time and energy. Some of you are on Facebook. I know Ant's been encouraging a few more to join Facebook recently, and he's failing miserably at getting Joe Vickery on Facebook, but I'm sure he'll keep trying. And I'm on Facebook, and I checked. I've got 370 friends on Facebook. Now, I had a look. I did a quick unscientific check this week and looked at my 370 friends. In reality, if I'm honest, I've got, of those 370, there's probably 8 real friends, the sort I'd share deeply with, and 3 of my 4 closest friends aren't even on Facebook. Of the 370, there's 85 that I haven't seen at any time in the last 5 years. There's 29 I'm not sure I'd recognise if they passed me in the street. And there's 3 I don't even know who they are. In the church community, in the Christian community, there will always be those who we are closest to, those perhaps we share similar backgrounds with, we share similar interests or passions, we connect because we're at particular a same stage of life as someone else. But with everyone, we're called to the same sort of commitment, a commitment that seeks the best for that other person. And I certainly want the very best for every single person who's here this morning, whether I know you well or whether I've barely spoken to you. Because as part of a community of faith, we're called to mutual affection and concern. We're called to be a blessing to one another, living in harmony, forgiving each other's faults, whilst at the same time desiring a deeper unity with Christ. But we can only do that through a humble recognition of the nature of the church community. Because every single one of us, if we're honest, is wounded. We're in need of God's healing touch. It's true in the New Testament church. It's true today. There's that phrase, isn't there? The church is a hospital for sinners, not a social club for saints. And woe betide us if at Christ Church, Quakers Road Church Centre, within the youth groups, within the fellowship group, the Mothers Union, any of the myriad of groups that exist, we ever become known as a judgmental group of people, where people are made to feel they're just not good enough. Maybe because they've got some sort of alcohol or gambling addiction, or they've struggled with broken relationships, or they come to us with learning needs, or they're struggling with their sexuality, or they're battling with depression, or there's something in their past that has really affected them. None of us is good enough in our own right to come before God and receive his love. And yet, God loves us. We're all in need of his healing touch. But it is so easy to judge. It's interesting, if you look at the story of Saul's conversion, it's the other reading we would have had this morning if we'd had time for sort of two longish readings. In Acts chapter 9, you've got that amazing conversion experience on the road to Damascus. His life is transformed in an instant. And yet, when he tries to link up with the disciples, they're very wary. And so we read partway through chapter 9 in verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. They were all very skeptical because they knew of his past. And it was only Barnabas, the one we know as the encourager, who leapt to his defense and drew him in. What would have happened, I wonder, if the disciples had ostracized Saul and not let him into their group at all? If all of us could bring a little more of that Barnabas encouragement to this community, then we'd all be so much more welcoming. And the same Saul, who became Paul, of course, writes, "Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." I've been experiencing hospitality this morning. I was down at the Quakers Road breakfast service. It was mayhem, I tell you. There were 60 of us, and I don't think they're expecting quite so many. But we had fantastic hospitality, and we had our service of communion in the midst of breakfast. Some people have a real gift for hospitality, whether it be welcoming people into their homes, catering for large groups, or just helping people feel at ease. Some have incredible gifts of compassion, the ability to reach out to others. It's not everyone's gift, but all of us can offer welcome to some degree or another. Just as not all of us have the gift of the evangelist, and yet all of us can witness to God's love, as we were reminded last week. Let's go back to that question, shall we? When someone walks through those imposing double doors on a Sunday morning, what do they find? I'd hope they'd find a sense of purpose, a deep spirituality, a genuineness, a warmth, and friendship. But isn't there a fear that sometimes they'll find busyness, a club mentality, in crowds, cliques? I hope not. Overall, I think we're a very friendly church. Our theme this morning is one of from being friendly to building friendship. It's about going deeper. It's about getting beyond the superficial and truly living out those verses that we find in Romans 12 and the many other instructions we find. A lot of it is best achieved in smaller communities. That's why we have home groups, cell groups, discipleship triads, prayer triplets. But we need to give attention to those things within our larger gatherings as well. Every single person who walks through those double doors, whatever their colour, their background, their social standing, their age, their life choices, every single one is desperately loved by God. Jesus died for every single one of them. And so let's seek to be a community that welcomes, offers real friendship and an experience of a Saviour's love. And we've been thinking a little bit on the vision team and within the staff meetings about how that welcome and that greater sense of community might be achieved. especially within this 10:30 gathering, so that newcomers can be integrated into our family, so that people don't get missed, so that people don't just stay for a few weeks and then move on somewhere else. So Joe and Sean are just going to share briefly about some of the thinking that's been going on that theme.
You may have noticed that there have been a number of changes over recent months in our welcome team. Lots of new people have been joining us, which is fantastic. We really could do with a few more. So if you feel that may be a ministry that you could exercise, and it's only kind of once every 3 months or so, or it can be, please let us know. And I took over heading up the welcome team. But I have to tell you, in reality, Graham does a huge amount of work behind the scenes, actually a lot more than I do, in linking people up, making sure the names of new people get to the leadership team. So I really do want you to know that you may not see that happening, but in reality, he's still incredibly active in the team. And I'm really encouraged by the work that's going on. I see the people at the front there who are handing out the books. We then have a second tier of welcomers inside the reception area, and their ministry is to link people up, to sometimes bring them into church, introduce them to somebody who may have things in common with them, like small children or whatever. And it's brilliant. It's going really well. And just want to say, because I forgot to say, that the whole coffee ministry that's overseen by Andy is also part of the welcome ministry. And we are desperate for people to join teams or to make new teams. So again, if that's something you think you could do, it really is a very small thing to do once every 3 months or so. Again, please come and see me. But as I say, I'm really pleased, and as I see people chatting over coffee, people don't just stay anymore in small groups with people that they know. They are looking around to people that they don't know, that may be on their own or maybe quite new to things. But the way actually to really measure how well something is going is not by people in the leadership team or me saying, do you know what, I think we're doing a fantastic job. I think it's great, isn't it? Actually, where it's like what's going on now in education, we don't talk about good teaching so much as good and effective learning. Because the teacher can be amazing, but if the children aren't learning anything, then it's not effective education. So what we've done is asked new people, and being like it's the first week of half term, we've got a lot of people that are not here this morning, but we have got a huge number that have started to come over recent months. And so I've gone about asking them what they think we're like as a welcoming church. And initially they say the friendship that is extended is brilliant. People talk and over coffee, they're really looking out. But what people have also said is after that, there's a gap. So people are saying to me, it's quite hard sometimes to kind of know how you become a real member of Christ Church, not just with your name on the electoral roll, but feel really part of this church. How do you break in? What do you do? Especially if for some reason you either don't feel confident enough to be in a home group or in a prayer triplet or all the other different ways that we're linking up now in the week. But, you know, if initially you just want to see whether this is the church for you, meet some people, that's where people are struggling. So we've really been thinking quite hard about what we do about that, and we've come up with a couple of solutions.
Thank you, Sean. The solution, or the offering of a solution, is about moving people from A to B so that people can feel they can travel on the journey from attending to belonging. From A to B. And the purpose of what we want to do as a church is to practice hospitality in such a way that people are enabled to move from A to B. And practicing hospitality is about repeatedly doing those things that will help that happen. Somebody once said, practice makes permanent. So if we practice the wrong things, then we will continue to do the wrong things. But we want to do the things that will be best to move people into that place of belonging. And so we're looking to create a new role within the church, a role that we might call a welcome pastor. And within this small team of people who we would like to draw together to talk these things through and to look at what's involved in it, there will be three aspects to their role. They will, first of all, notice. Each of these things begins with the sound N. It's not the not the actual letter N, but it's the sound N. It's a bit contrived, but so I can remember it this way. The first thing is notice. They will notice, they will look out for anyone coming for the first time and take the initiative to make the first move. "Hi, I'm Judy." And the other person might say their name. And you will invite them to sit in the sort of section or the area where you normally sit. Now, most of you sit in the same sort of places, I think. I'm looking around. Even I notice on meetings when people come to the vicarage, and we've had a meeting in the room once, and they will invariably go to the same chairs the second time they come. So you normally sit, there will be exceptions, but a welcome pastor will be somebody who's in the area where they normally sit and will invite a new person to come and sit in their section. The second N is to get to know them. Having known their name, they will then introduce them by name to someone else in that section and maybe make them aware of anything that they may have in common. Maybe they've got young children or whatever, so that they get to know a few other people in that area. And then the third N is to connect. I told you it was contrived. Notice, know, and connect. Anyway, the idea is to keep an eye out for them after the service is finished and take them perhaps to coffee, introduce them to another person, get them connected to a few other people around the church. Mention that you're usually in this sort of area, so when you come again, if you come next week, you're welcome to come and sit with us, with me. And that, we were saying, is so difficult for people. It's not coming the first time, coming the second time, they think, well, who will I sit with? Who do I know? And you can see people in the reception area sort of looking through and say, oh, somebody I know. I'll go and sit with them. That is crucial if people to feel a sense of belonging. If it's appropriate, we can use a welcome card, a card that you have in your pews in front of you, and invite them to complete that card and pass the cards on to Graham Ball, who will record details and distribute them to the staff team to follow them up. It may be something that people could write down privately, any key things that would be important to remember about them and to pray for them during the week. But it's not just this role about people who don't really feel they belong when they first come, but a welcome pastor. The word pastor has a link with the work of the shepherd, one who cares for the flock. And a welcome pastor will also know the people who normally sit around them in that section, and they'll notice if somebody hasn't been for several weeks. It's easy for people not to feel noticed or known, to people to feel invisible and that they don't matter. I just met somebody 5 weeks ago who had been in hospital, had an operation, and they hadn't been for all that time, and I had no idea that was happening. I hadn't even missed them. And I said, how are you? He said, I'm all right now, thank you. I dread that answer. I'm all right now, thank you, Joe. Because I know that actually they've been really poorly, and I didn't know about it. I can't know about it, though. There's hundreds of people at Christchurch. But the welcome pastors in these different sections will have a better chance of getting to know people and what's going on. It's easy for some to fall outside that network of friendship. People will come into the front door, but they'll leave by the back. And the evidence is we've got quite a big, wide open back door in this church. We need to address this, and we need everybody to be on board about taking forward this, practicing this form of hospitality at 10:30 first. We'll see how it goes, and it may be something we can do in other congregations afterwards. So, if you're a person who is regular at 10:30, who's warm and easy to relate to, sensitive, respectful, who knows those who sit around them, who has a pastoral heart to know the friendship of Jesus, instead of just being friendly, but a longing, a person who is longing to build friendships and trust with others, then we'd love if you pray about being a welcome pastor. And it may be that in a few weeks' time, our church will have moved one step further from being friendly to building friendships. Amen. Keep on.
Why don't we stand and sing together this song, Befriended, which speaks of the friendship of Jesus, which is ultimately what we all long to know and long for others to know. Befriended by the King above all kings, surrendered to a friend above all friends.